Tonight is the fourth Sunday of the month, and we'll be taking steps 11 and 12 with Paul Fisher. Welcome to the Beginner's Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous Group. In this Big Book 12-step meeting, we follow the directions in the Big Book and take all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1 month. We take the 12 steps at the group level as an overview. If you want to take the 12 steps on a one-to-one basis, please connect with a sharing partner after the meeting ends tonight. A sharing partner is someone who has taken all 12 steps and has had a spiritual awakening and is willing to help the new person through the 12 steps. We are recreating the beginner's classes in the early 1940s when recovery from alcoholism was over 75%. In Cleveland, there were 4 beginner's classes with a 93% sobriety rate. Our AA pioneers took 12 steps fast. Beginner's Big Book provides sharing partners for this meeting only. They can work with you on a one-to-one basis to take all 12 steps and be recovered from alcoholism. Any men or women who want to take the 12 steps, please connect with a sharing partner after the meeting ends. Will the sharing partners who want to work with others please raise your hand? Thank you. We have Big Book study guidebooks available to use in the meeting. Each page and paragraph is numbered. Please do not write in the book. Big Book study guidebooks are for sale at group cost of $8. Please silence your cell phones, and please no texting. All court papers will be signed after the meeting is over, after we have said the Lord's Prayer. Please keep your court paper until then. Sometimes this meeting runs over 1 hour. Do not expect to have your court paper signed at 7:30 or if you have to leave early. Again, all court papers will be signed after we had said the Lord's Prayer. Please keep your court paper until then, and we'll sign it after the meeting is over. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Here's a quote from our AA co-founder, Bill Wilson, written in the 1958 AA Grapevine. Sobriety, freedom from alcohol, through the teaching and practice of the 12 steps, is the sole purpose of an AA group. End quote. Let's have a moment of quiet time to invite the God of our own understanding into our hearts and remind ourselves why we are here tonight, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. We'll be passing the basket at this time for the seventh tradition.
So let's flip back to page 59 so we can read step 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Okay, back here on page 85, paragraph 2, page 85, paragraph 2. It says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. Notice the authors don't say that He has a lot of knowledge and power. It says He has all knowledge and power. Now, if I have a resource available to me that has all knowledge and power, what would be the best place to go for direction? That source. Exactly. You know what I find really ironic in these rooms? And I have had this experience so many times. The very thing that has caused me more difficulty and pain and suffering has been my own head. And you know what's really interesting about that? I get a problem. You know the first place I go for a solution is my head. Now, is that insane or what? The thing that caused me more suffering and pain and humiliation when I came into these rooms, the old ideas, beliefs, and attitudes and perceptions that simply did not work, that is the first place I go for a solution when I have a problem. So, if I'm truly self-delusional, we read that, didn't we? Back in the second and the third step, that we are driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking. Correct? So if I'm truly driven by self-delusion, how am I going to know if I'm self-deluded? I'm not going to know. That's like going to a fish and asking it, what is water? The fish will say, well, you know, it's everywhere. Think about the weight of that statement. If I'm self-delusional, how am I going to know if I'm self-deluded? I'm not going to know. That's why it's absolutely essential that this alcoholic maintain the strict disciplines of 10, 11, and 12. Can I rely on my interpretation, my perception of my own experience? Maybe I need other people. Maybe I need access to a guide of my understanding so that I can seek this knowledge and power. Okay, then the author is going to say, if we have carefully, doesn't say if we follow directions, if we have carefully follow directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. What a promise. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. Now, how many of you have gone to meetings and you've heard somebody speak and they picked the topic? I'd like to hear your experience with your sixth sense. It's right there in the book. I mean, the authors are telling us we have begun to develop this vital. You know what vital means? Essential for life. So am I going to be able to live and survive? I'm not talking about not drinking. I'm talking about living here. I'm talking about being free. Being free from my own mind, my own fears, inadequacies, self-doubts, etc., etc., etc. This vital sixth sense. So this sixth sense is absolutely essential for my life and sobriety. I'm encouraging all of you that are experiencing this vital sixth sense that you take that back to your meetings and start talking about it. Start sharing with people your own experience with your vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. My 20 years of sobriety is not going to keep me spiritually fit. Now, the truth is, I don't want to do these disciplines. I would love to be able to sit home with my 20 years of sobriety and flip the old, whatchamacallit, from channel to channel and drink my Sprite and be spiritually fit. I would love to be able to do that, but that's not what my experience shows me. Am I willing to do the disciplines? Yes. Why do I do them? A couple of reasons. Not because I'm a truth seeker. There are no truth seekers in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're comfort seekers. That's why I maintain the disciplines, because I enjoy the comfort, the peace of mind, the serenity, the freedom, the reprieve from alcohol. being in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. That's why I do the disciplines on a regular basis, not because I want to do them. It's because I enjoy feeling comfort, and that's what these disciplines do for me. Let's read on. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. That is what is most important about prayer and meditation, is that I have a proper attitude and I'm willing to work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Here is where the authors very clearly describe the evening review, and they give us a hint. Now remember, we are at step 11, correct? In the book, right? And then it says in the very next paragraph, when we retire at night. That's a clue. So if I'm going to retire at night, and these are the questions I'm going to ask myself in my evening review. I'm going to ask the same four questions that I ask myself as I go through the day, as I go along in step 10. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? There's a question mark. That means it's the stop sign. I'm going to stop. I'm going to answer those questions. Do we owe an apology? There's another question mark. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Another question mark. Were we kind and loving toward all? Another question mark. What could we have done better? Another question mark. Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, or what we could pack into the stream of life? That does not mean do as much as you possibly can and complete as many tasks as possible. That has not been my understanding of pack as much as I can into the stream of life. What I'm hearing from that is, where was I helpful? Who did I help? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Here's the warning. You know, we're not here there to beat ourselves up. Simply do a constructive review of my day. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. So, you see, I'm not useful to other people. I'm just simply sitting there beating myself up. I'm simply reviewing my day per these questions. Okay, here are the instructions. After I do my review, the authors are asking me to do two things in the next sentence. After making our review, we ask, that sounds like a prayer, doesn't it? We ask God's forgiveness. In other words, you know, I was thinking mostly of myself today. God, please forgive me for doing so. No, I wasn't kind and loving towards all. Please forgive me. And then there's that word and, which means in addition to. That means I'm going to do something in addition to prayer. Inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So if I'm going to inquire what corrective measures should be taken, that implies I'm going to listen. In other words, after I do my evening review, I'm going to pray and meditate. We talked about that last week. How essential it is for me to meditate in addition to pray. You see, if all I'm doing is praying, I'm not completing step 11 in its entirety. Notice the wording of step 11. It doesn't say sought through prayer to improve my conscious contact. So you see, if all I'm doing is praying and not meditating, am I going to improve my relationship with God? Am I going to receive the knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out? My experience has been no. If my friend Scott here calls me up and invites me to his house for a party, and I hang up the phone before I receive directions, I'm not going to know which way to go to get there. That's what prayer without meditation is like. I've created a lot of unmanageability in my life and sobriety as a result of not meditating on something, but rather praying. I have made decisions based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt. That's how essential it is for me to practice daily meditation. So isn't this beautiful? They're giving us a specific outline of how to do evening review, and they're giving the instructions to pray and meditate when I finish my evening review. Next paragraph. They show us how to do morning meditation. They give us a clue when to do it in the first two words. On awakening. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we say a prayer. It says, we ask, there's a prayer, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can't employ our mental faculties. Here, the authors are implying we are supposed to use our brains. Employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. After step 9, you may notice that the authors have made a shift. 4 through 9 is about conduct. It's about where I was wrong, where I've caused harm, where I've been selfish, where I've been self-seeking, where I've been dishonest, etc., etc. Now the authors have moved into the thought life. After all, it does say on page 23 that the main problem the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. Isn't that correct? So what needs more attention? My mind. It's the main problem. So here the authors have made a shift. Now they're shifting into, let's concentrate on our thought life. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. This helps me to address the self-delusion. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask, there's another prayer, God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Notice that the authors are not instructing me to ask God to keep me sober. If I truly believe, if I truly conceded to my innermost self that I have no power over alcohol, and there's absolutely nothing I can do to keep me sober, and I'm sober, and I've come to believe in a power greater than myself, and I made a decision to give my life to that, what's keeping me sober? Is it me? Is it that relationship? Is it work? Maybe it's your income. That has not been my experience. So, if I've applied those principles, if I've followed that recipe in this book up to this point, and God is keeping me sober, why do I need to go to Him and ask Him to keep me sober? Consider this for a moment. My wife is in the kitchen and she's washing dishes. And I go in and I say, Jan, would you wash the dishes, please? She's likely to frown at me. I'm certain she will frown. She's going to give me that look like, I'm already doing it. Why are you asking me to do something I'm already doing? You see, I fell victim to that for a long time in the time of bouncing in and out of these rooms. Yes, I ask God to keep me sober every day. To my knowledge, this book doesn't say anything about not drinking one day at a time. To say that I am not going to drink one day at a time implies that I still have some reservation. That has been my experience with relapse. I hear that from relapsers a lot. Yeah, I'm asking God to keep me sober, day at a time, every morning I ask Him to keep me sober. Why? He's already doing it. They're instructing me to follow directions, a plan of action, to direct my thinking. Let's go ahead and check that out. Let's see what the books have to say about it. Okay. Here we go. Turn to page 33. Page 33, paragraph 1, line 9. Page 33, paragraph 1, line 9. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. No reservation. I'm going to jump ahead here just to illustrate a point. Here we go. Page 90, paragraph 3. Page 90, paragraph 3, line 6. That's line 6. Then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. You see, what happened to me in that period of time that I was bouncing in and out of these rooms and couldn't stay sober was that I was not willing to quit for good. I was not willing to go to God and ask Him to remove it for good. Now, To say that I'm willing to give it up for good does not imply that I have power to keep me sober. What that does imply is I'm willing to go to any length to stay sober. That means I'm going to resort to any spiritual principle I possibly can in order to not drink. Because I don't have the power to keep me sober. So that means I need to call on the power from a God of my understanding. If you're having resistance to this, I simply ask you to consider if you have had that experience. Without exception, every time I go to a meeting, go to a roundup, convention, and I hear a speaker say something that I have resistance to, most of the time it is because I have not experienced it. When I heard people say things like they felt safe and protected, they were in a position of neutrality, that they stopped fighting everybody and everything, I had resistance to that. You know why? Because I never had the experience. How many people in here can tell me about bungee jumping? I have experience with bungee jumping. So what can you tell me about bungee jumping? Nothing. You have nothing to offer me about bungee jumping because you have no experience with it. You can share a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas, a lot of perceptions, but do you have any experience with it? I have some personal experience with that. I know what it's like. I wouldn't do it again. One time was enough for me. But it was a positive experience. I'm not going to go into that right now. But the point I'm trying to make, you know, in early sobriety, I found it necessary to ask God to help me stay sober because I had not had a spiritual awakening yet. I had not dialed into God's power. See, that's why it's absolutely essential that we be taken through these steps as quickly as possible. See, I'm the real alcoholic that they talk about on page 21. Given sufficient reason isn't going to keep me sober. I need to get to the power, and I need to get to it now. Now. It has been my experience. You cannot take anybody through these steps too quickly. However, you can take them through too slowly. Maybe that has something to do with the decreased success rate within the rooms of our meetings. My God, how do these guys have a 75 to 93% success rate, especially in the Cleveland, Akron area? What were they doing that we're not doing? Give this some serious thought for a moment. Medicine has made major advancements since 1939, 1944. There are treatment centers. They didn't have treatment centers then. They had drying out hospitals where they detox people. Psychology has made a lot of advancements since then. And yet the success rate in AA is lower today than it was then, and they had fewer resources. But the resources that were available to the alcoholics in 1944 are the same resources that are available to us today. And it's called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called the spiritual principles that are contained within the first 103 pages, giving me the instructions on how to do the 12 steps. Before we get into the promises, which is at the top of page 87, the promises of prayer and meditation, I'll share with you what I personally do. I don't ask God to keep me sober. He's already doing it. Keep in mind, I have to do my part. So basically what I do is this. I follow the instructions on this page. The first thing to do is I ask God to direct my thinking, especially that it be divorce and self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Then I say another prayer. I ask for inspiration, a to the thought, or decision today. Then I ask God to help me to relax, take it easy, and not struggle. And that's when I move into my meditation for listening. And that's when I ask, what would you have me be today? Today, the guidance that I receive is rather simple. I typically receive guidance like, enjoy yourself today. Be kind and patient with other people. Listen. If you will practice this prayer and meditation, I can guarantee you, your life will change in a relatively short period of time. Try not to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that sobriety is solely contingent on prayer and meditation. I need to practice all the principles, not just those. But those have been very instrumental in my life. And as I stated last week, there's no right way to meditate, and there's no wrong way. What you need to do is find a way that works for you. Let's look at the promises. This is what used to be the hunt for vocational inspiration. Here they are instructing us to be patient. Gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Once again, notice the authors are putting emphasis on the thought life. Being still in experience and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. So I'm not inspired at all times, I tell myself, oh, it's not working. Remember what we read at the beginning of this. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. We might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, here's the thought life again. We find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Isn't that beautiful? My thinking's going to change. They're telling me, be patient. I'm not going to be inspired at all times. Now I'm going to finish prayer and meditation. Then we're going to take more action. In the next paragraph, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. So I'm going to pray, meditate, pray in the morning. That we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask, here's a prayer, we ask especially for freedom from self-will. And we're careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. That's one of the things I love about steps 10, 11. They guarantee that I'm going to make mistakes. That's why I need those bookends. Isn't that beautiful? I got two beautiful bookends. I have a bookend in the morning where I'm going to do prayer, meditation, prayer. I'm going to do a daily 10 steps during the day as I go along. And at night I'm going to do evening review and then I'm going to do prayer and meditation when I finish. This has been my experience. I will only experience one of two things within the rooms of AA. I'm either getting better or I'm getting worse. There is no in between. No one, to my knowledge, has ever coasted uphill. It's real easy to spot people who are doing these disciplines. They don't take themselves so seriously. They seem to enjoy life much more fully. They laugh more. They make fun of themselves. You know why it's important for us to not take ourselves seriously? Because we are the joke. We are it. We are the joke. That's why I can't take myself seriously. Another reason is you're not going to. Okay, basically this is what the early AA members did. Be aware that in the 40s, the early AA members, especially in the Cleveland and Akron area, did what they called daily written meditation. They did it daily. They prayed and they meditated. After meditating, they pulled out pencil and paper and wrote down all the guidance that they received. No editing. Write it all down. And then they took those thoughts, that guidance, and they tested it against the four absolutes. See, if it's honest, pure, loving, and unselfish, I can be assured that it came from God. Keeping in mind that not everything I hear in meditation comes from God. So what this process will do for you is it will clearly identify the origin of your guidance. So they would take the four absolutes and test it against the guidance. This way they could be assured which guidance came from God and which came from them. Here are some examples on this piece of paper, on this handout. Let's assume that this is the guidance you received in your meditation. Give them a piece of my mind. Is that honest, pure, loving, and unselfish? No, that came from me. Next one, be patient with others today. Is that honest, pure, loving, and unselfish? Yes, that came from God. I need to avoid that person today. Is that honest, pure, loving, and unselfish? No. Be kind to others today. Is that honest, pure, loving, and unselfish? Yes, that came from God. accept others as they are. Is that honest, pure, loving, and unselfish? Yes. So here we can be assured which guidance came from me and which came from God. This is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do it just for 1 week. Try it for 1 week. Meditate after you pray. That means listen. All the guidance that comes to you, write it down on paper. Test the guidance against the four absolutes. Come back next week. And though I understand this is a private matter, personal to you in your two-way communication with God, I'm going to ask that you come back next week and be willing to share with us the guidance that you received from God, not the guidance you received from you. So what you do is you test it against the four absolutes, cross off the guidance that came from you. The purpose of doing this is to show you that God does exist and that he does communicate to us during meditation. Those of you that are willing to complete this exercise will be a great example to those in this room that are still doubtful that God communicates to us through meditation. There are a lot of books out there that you can read on meditation. There's one book I would recommend that you get for meditation. And it's a book that has the word meditation in it. If it says meditation, get it. If you don't have information on meditation, it's information that you don't have. There's no right way, there's no wrong way to do this. You have to find a way that works for you. What I did in the beginning was I used the Serenity Prayer for a period of time. I used the 12 steps. In other words, I would recite all 12 steps in my head so I could get quiet. You can try using breathing exercises or simply focusing on your breathing. Go through a process where you're relaxing the entire body. You know, you start at the top of your head and you're telling yourself, okay, I'm going to relax my head, my neck, my shoulders, my chest, my stomach, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever works for you. Personally, I like to have a quiet place. When I do my meditation, I go a place where there's no phones, and there's no TV, and there's no one knocking on the door. And I go through my prayers, and I go through this process of attempting to become quiet and still. In the beginning, it was real difficult. There was a lot of chatter going on in my head. The worst thing we can do during meditation is trying to stop it. Let it happen. Don't try to control the chatter in your head. During the week, I asked you to consider doing the written meditation exercise where you write down the guidance that you receive during meditation and then test it against the four absolutes. I'm asking for any volunteers, anybody who would be willing to share the guidance that they received this week. I understand that this is a personal matter in two-way communication with the God of your understanding. I'm hoping those of you that did do it would be willing to come forward and share with us the guidance you received from God in order to show yourself and other people that guidance does come during meditation.
Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute quiet time and practice step 11 and listen to God. We're going to ask him to direct our thinking, so thoughts that come are coming from God. Now, how do we know the difference between what's coming from God and what's coming from us? We use the four absolutes. Is it honest, pure, unselfish, and loving? It must pass all four absolutes. If it fails one of the liabilities of self-will, which is dishonesty, resentment, and fear, and selfishness, it only has to have one liability to fail the guidance, that is coming from self, and we're interested in what is passing the four absolutes. So we're going to take a couple minutes here to get paper and pencil, and we're going to have a prayer where Catherine is going to give us a prayer, and then after the prayer, there's going to be 5 minutes of quiet time, and we can practice this meditation. Now, it does say in the big book, in the morning, to practice meditation, and in the evening we practice meditation. This is our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. So again, we're going to practice step 11, and as we write down our meditation after the 5 minutes is up, we will share this in the meeting. If you feel comfortable, please share it in the meeting.
It's nice to have some kind of ritual around it where you do a reading or something. Some people like to breathe deeply or have a special place that they sit every day and do this, a quiet place, somewhere you feel comfortable, somewhere that you're honoring this, you know, this procedure. Okay. Well, and again, you know, this is a spiritual exercise like everything else. So is prayer. Now, what we'd like to do, one time I was doing my prayer and meditation few years ago, and I got the message or the direction to write what I could think of calling it was a pre-prayer prayer, something to get me in the right space, you know, so that I wasn't off base. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this prayer, and then we're all going to sit quietly and write down whatever comes to mind, and for just 2 or 3 minutes. And remember, you can't do this wrong, and you can't fake it either. It's just going to happen. It'll be fun. We're going to hear what some of these responses are that we get. It's really exciting. Okay, here's the prayer I wrote. God, during this quiet time, I pray that my writing will reflect that my life is presently being guided by unselfishness, honesty, purity, and love. I pray to now open myself to receive your guidance and direction. I pray for the will to take your direction in a timely manner, that I may continue to grow spiritually and experience a profound life of serenity and joy. Amen. Okay, let's do our writing. Okay, we'll stop there. That was about 4 minutes. It's a long time when we sit quietly with our higher power, isn't it? Feels good. Well, thank you for doing this exercise with us. We realize that these messages can be very personal and are normally discussed with only your sponsor or sharing partner. However, if you believe the group can benefit from what you have received, we're asking you to share it with us now. In addition, you will be helping those who are still struggling with the 11th step to see how God discloses himself to us. Now, only share what you have written without further explanation. We'll be here all day otherwise. And I know it's tempting, but, you know, you'll have a chance to share this with other people in the future. Now, let's keep it simple. We always want to try to keep it simple. Now, who is willing to start us off with what they have written down?
After everybody has shared their guidance, we have what we call a three-way prayer. Now, this is something you heard the expression, God talks through people. The three-way prayer is in reference to guidance that you've shared tonight in the meeting that has helped somebody else in the meeting. And that's considered three-way prayer. So, in other words, we're going to share our guidance that we receive from our five-minute meditation, write it down, and we're going to share it. After we're all done sharing our two-way prayer with God, anybody in the room that has listened to your guidance and has benefited from their guidance is considered three-way prayer, and we encourage you to write that down. So we will share the three-way prayer immediately after we share the guidance from you, your meditation. Hopefully that makes sense. Basically, we're going to share our meditation as we write it down on the paper. After we're all done, people in the room who have benefited from your guidance will write that down also, and that's considered three-way prayer. So we encourage you to write down anything that you hear from somebody else, and we'll share that also. And that's called three-way prayer. Okay, at this point, we're going to turn off the tape player, and we're going to take the time to listen to meditation that you've written down in your five-minute quiet time. That's considered two-way prayer. We're also going to take the time to listen to three-way prayer. Now, the three-way prayer is in reference to anything that you've heard from somebody else that has helped you tonight concerning guidance, and we encourage you to write that down also. So again, we're going to take the time to do that. So we're going to go ahead and turn off the tape player once we've shared the two-way prayer and listen to the three-way prayer. We'll turn on the tape player and continue with step 12.